There's something very interesting that's happening with our industry. It's been changing slowly, really, over the last 4 or 5 years. The pandemic obviously sped this up. But I think there's a split coming. I think hospitality will be removed from a great deal of food service. So we used to call the restaurant industry part of the hospitality industry, but I don't think that's necessarily true. Restaurants are food service, and I think part of what we want out of a certain kind of experience has to do with hospitality. And I think there's another kind of restaurant where we want something very different, and that's convenience. And I think we're seeing this split, and it's happening in real time, and it's being sped up by the adoption of technology. And I want to talk more deeply about that, specifically what it is, why it's happening, and how you can stay with it so you're not crushed by this wave. If this is the first time you're hearing it, I'm glad to introduce it to you. If you've been thinking about this, then let's come and have a deeper conversation about this split, the way our industry is moving towards convenience and experience, all in today's episode of Restaurant Strategy.
There's an old saying that goes something like this. You'll only find three kinds of people in the world. Those who see, those who will never see, and those who can see when shown. This is Restaurant Strategy, a podcast with answers for anyone who's looking.
Hey everyone, thanks for tuning in. My name is Chip Close, and this is Restaurant Strategy, a podcast dedicated solely to helping you build a more profitable restaurant. Each week, I leverage my 25 years in the industry to help you build a more profitable and sustainable business. I work with owners and operators all over the world through my P3 Mastermind. I write books like The Restaurant Marketing Mindset. I take the stage. I do speaking gigs and keynotes all over the world. The podcast, though, is where I reach most of you, and I want to ask you a really big favor right now. If you have been listening for a while, if you get any sort of value from this show, I want you to hit pause in just a second. I want you to hit pause. Go leave us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts. That, more than anything else, the rating and the review will do more to help grow this show and build our community. I would be eternally grateful. So again, if you get any sort of value, if you've been listening for a while, just go tell people why you listen, why you spend part of your week with us here at Restaurant Strategy. Go to Apple Podcasts, leave us a 5-star rating and review. Do that now, and then come on back. Avi, you love to go out to eat. So as a guest, what's your biggest pet peeve when you're trying to choose a place to eat?
Yeah, as the father of two children, I can't leave the house for less than $30 an hour. My wife has celiac. So when we're going to make a dining decision, I live and die by that menu. I'm in there researching what's available. What can my wife eat? What can we share? What do I get to eat off of her plate? And so that menu is just a crucial part of all decision making for me as a consumer. It's why at Marquee, we focus so much on our menus, our menu integration, so that as operators, your menu that lives in your point of sale that you want customers to see is available and up to date everywhere.
To learn more about Marquee, go to marquee.com, M-A-R-Q-I-I.com, to learn more about this and all of the incredible features they have. Okay, so today I want to talk more deliberately about the restaurant industry because I think it is splitting. I think something really, really interesting is happening. And I was talking to somebody a couple weeks ago. I've actually held this conversation 2 or 3 times over the last, I'll say, 3 months. And I got a lot of pushback. But I think if you stop and you look around and you see what's happening, I think you'll realize that I'm right here. And it's not about being right or wrong. It's just a simple observation. And I'm certainly not the first or the only person to observe this. But there is a split that's happening in our industry. So it used to be, right, that restaurant industry was the hospitality industry, that we go to get taken care of, right? That we go to have people wait on us and bring us the things we want. And I think for certain kind of restaurants in a certain kind of market, that is still going to be true. But I think when you look at what's happening, I think there is a whole other subset of restaurants that is not trying to provide hospitality, but they are just trying to provide convenience. And the way I see it is this industry is being split. People are going after convenience or what I call experience. And hospitality, right? All those touches, all the servers and everything, I think that's part of and experience. I think what we are going out for is one, or why we would pay for someone else to prepare our food. I think it's for one reason or the other. I think it's convenience or experience. Over the course of this episode, I want to break it down, and I want to talk about convenience, and I want to talk about the things that I'm seeing and see if you can see the same things I'm seeing. And then we're going to take a short break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about experience. And I want to talk about the things that are happening. And what I think you have to realize from the very beginning is that the restaurants in the middle are getting squeezed, and they are going to continue to get squeezed and forced to be in this convenience bucket or in this experience bucket. And I don't think I'm wrong here. I think this is happening, and I think we're watching it. And I think, again, technology is speeding this up. Cost of goods have gone through the roof over the last 2 years. Labor has gone up since the pandemic. Now, some of those will settle, but they will never come back down. Right? Money, inflation, markets, they only go in one direction. I've only ever paid more and more and more and more for a burger. I've never paid more and more and more and more, and then suddenly less, and then way less. It just never happened. I've only been on the planet for 40-some years, so maybe there was a time when it did happen. But if you look over the history of the world, inflation really only moves in one direction. And I think that's forcing people to decide. I think what we have to now charge for a restaurant experience is such that people are having to make decisions. Oh, that's worth my time and my money, or that's not worth my time, right? This particular restaurant that I'm looking at, that's not worth it. It's not worth me going out on a Wednesday night and, having dinner for a family of three for $150, $200, which is what it is at sort of an upscale casual restaurant. If you're going to go out and have a couple of drinks, have an appetizer each, an entree each, that costs money. And it's just because cost of goods has gone up and labor has gone up. So we're forced as an industry to pass that along to the consumer. And all of us, again, the benefit is that all of us listening to this podcast are both merchants and consumers. We run restaurants and we also dine out in restaurants. And you feel it. You feel it as a consumer. I feel it as a consumer. I work in this industry. I love this industry. Everything I do is to support this industry. And my family and I, we're going out less than we did 3 years ago, 2 years ago. That's just a reality. We're not independently wealthy. We have a certain amount of money, certain amount of discretionary income to spend on things like dining out. And I'm not the only one going through this. There are customers, diners of yours, that are doing the same thing. So let's split this conversation. We're going to talk about convenience first, and then we're going to talk about experience. And I hope by the end I will have convinced you, not that I'm right, but that it's worth paying attention to. Because if you are stuck in that messy middle, I think you're going to have to make a decision sooner rather than later, which one you're playing in. Now, dining out is becoming more expensive. The cost of goods is more expensive. Rent has gone up. Utilities are up. Labor is up. And we have to make decisions. Can we do more with less? Can we cut some of those frills? Can we cut service? Instead of being full service, can we turn into counter service? Quick service, fast casual, drive-through? Remember, drive-throughs that have happened over the last 5 years is crazy. Look at what Big B Coffee is doing out in Michigan and throughout the Midwest. They're pretty much getting rid of their brick and mortars. They are still opening some brick and mortars, but most of them are these sort of these portable prefab trailers. They know what's up. They want something that can go in the back of a truck and get moved to another location. The way we think about real estate is changing. And it's like one or two employees in there that can serve all the coffee. And you drive up, you get your stuff, and you go on with your day. And they can just take, 6 or 10 parking spots in the back of, 6 or 10 parking spots in the back of a Walmart shopping center. It's very, very smart. So let's talk about convenience. People want food fast. They want the food they want at their fingertips, right? That's why these delivery apps are so popular. Uber Eats, Grubhub, Seamless, DoorDash. Because we want endless variety as a food court at our fingertips, and I don't have to go anywhere. I can bring it here. And I pay for that. I pay extra for the convenience of having somebody make this food and bring it directly to me. That becomes a very important point. And what's happening is we know takeout delivery is a substandard product. And yet we're willing to pay extra because I don't have to leave my house. So when I'm working late and I don't have time to make food, I can just order it and somebody will bring it to me. I can literally work, get up, answer the door, go to my kitchen table, and dinner is served for my family. People are working multiple jobs. They are changing their commute, spending more time at home. People have side hustles, the way the gig economy has grown. There's all this incredible data that says within, 20, 25 years, some huge amount of the economy, like 20, 25% of the economy plus will be gig workers, meaning people, entrepreneurs, solopreneurs, business owners, service-based businesses, because people realize, hey, maybe I can replace my income by doing something else. And that's an important thing because people are hustling. They don't necessarily have time to go shop and prep and cook and clean up later. They are willing to pay extra for convenience. Convenience is a huge part of the economy, and we're just at the beginning. When you look at takeout and delivery, when you look at how it is in, let's say, Asia, right? So delivering the digital restaurant, Carl and Meredith, I had them on the show. They have talked about this, and in all their research, they show that North America, at least, is at the tip of the iceberg. We're nowhere close. I mean, like takeout and delivery makes up less than 10% of the total food service revenue generated. Whereas in Asia, it's something like 40%. It's this enormous number. And if we're really at like 5% and we're going to even 20 or 30%, that represents an enormous opportunity. Again, what's happening is with quick service, often it requires a smaller footprint. It can be counter service, so you got somebody at the register, or you've just got kiosk service, or you order and you order on your phone, order on a computer and just go pick it up. So you don't need all these staff members there. You need someone to sort of run it, make the food, but you don't necessarily need waiters and bussers and runners and bartenders and on and on and on. You can do it with much less. A lot of these then are starting to do the sort of the hub and spoke model, where you use a commissary to create all the food, you send it to all the various places, and so you actually need much less coverage in each individual location because all the food, and the majority of the food, is being made at one centralized location. That's that hub and spoke model. So actually the footprint you need is very small because the production is not happening on property, it's happening elsewhere. The number of people you need staffed is very low, simply because all the food production is happening somewhere else. That allows people to run very profitable restaurants. You are rewarded for having more places, smaller places, but more places, places that can run with less people. Because especially when you get into convenience, as we walk around with pocket computers in our hands, we can order much more easily than ever before. We don't have to call. We don't have to talk to anybody. We don't have to stand at a register. We just order on our way there and just pick it up. Look at McDonald's. Look at what they did to their drive-thrus. The drive-thrus back in the 80s were a boon. You just roll up, order your food, roll to the next window and pay, roll to the next window and pick up your food. And now look at how fast the world moves. That's so inconvenient. You're like, oh, come on. If you've ever sat in line at the drive-thru window when someone is actually doing it the old school way of ordering, rolling up, paying, rolling up, picking up their food, it feels like that transaction goes on forever because most of the people in line are ordering via the app, rolling in through the drive-thru. They give their four-digit code, or it's two letters, two numbers, and they say they confirm your name, you drive up to the window and you pick up your food. It takes less than half the time of what it normally takes to do a traditional McDonald's drive-thru experience, at least what it was before 2020. They have reinvented that, and it's so much more convenient. I talk about the kiosk at McDonald's quite a bit because the convenience that's baked into that. And now, of course, you order on the app, you just go in, you scan your phone on the kiosk when you get there. There's so many better ways. Fast food was convenient because it was so fast, and now it's even faster. You can get exactly what you want, exactly when you want it, with very little waiting. You look at the way that Taco Bell or Wendy's or Baja Fresh or any of these other places have adopted a lot of these tools and a lot of these conveniences because they're trying to be more convenient. And they need smaller footprints and less people. That is inevitable. We will continue that because I think people will need food. They will need food fast. They will need fast food cheap. That will not change. And if you don't need the huge overhead and the big footprint for rent and all the people to run it, you can keep your costs much lower. That's the convenience side. And I haven't heard anyone be able to debate the realities of that. I've never heard an argument that's more compelling to just a simple observation when you see really smart people and what they're doing. That's the convenience side. And I really think this whole industry is splitting one side or the other, and they're looking at convenience. I want to spend the rest of the conversation talking about experience in just a second after a word from another one of our sponsors. Now, this episode is brought to you by 7Shifts. Have you ever spent the past hour finalizing the schedule for next week only to find that you've got an employee run in and tell you that, oh, I need 2 days off, right? Or have you ever realized that you made a mistake on payroll right as you pressed submit? I've been there, and there's nothing fun about spending hours on manual updates. With 7Shifts, though, you don't have to worry about that. You can make schedule updates in minutes with an easy drag-and-drop scheduler and skip the payroll mistakes in the first place with automated calculations. 7Shifts is a team management platform built specifically for restaurants, and right now, 7Shifts... And right now, Restaurant Strategy podcast listeners can get 3 months free. To get started, visit 7shifts.com/restaurant strategy. That's the number 7, SHIFTS.com/restaurant strategy. See just how simple it can be when your payroll, scheduler, and time clock all live under one roof. And yes, that link is in the show notes. Okay, then. So if our industry is changing, and I believe it is changing, on the one side is convenience, and I think on the other side is experience. And what happens is that everybody in the middle, just a restaurant, gets squeezed out. Because what a restaurant has to charge, what kind of markup they need to charge in order to have a big footprint and to have all the staff there to cook, clean, serve, it's just... I think it's unreasonable because I don't think people will pay what they're going to have to pay for just a mediocre everyday experience. I think with more and more restaurants and more good restaurants, because we're only getting more restaurants, we're only getting better restaurants, I think people think twice about where to give their money and where to spend their time. And I think if people are saying, well, this is how much it costs to dine out, whatever that number is, $30 a head, $50, $80, $100 a head, am I going to go here, which is just okay, or am I going to go here, which is something exceptional? Now, I'm not even talking about fine dining, high-end, Michelin star. I'm not even talking about that. But I'm talking about going out to a pizza parlor, just an Italian restaurant. There are a million Italian restaurants where I can go get carbonara, I can get pomodoro, I can get my meatballs. Who cares? I want to go somewhere that's famous. I want to go somewhere that's doing something different, extra, above, something that people are talking about. If I got 10 Italian restaurants within 5 miles of my house, there's only one or two of them worth talking about. The others are just Italian restaurants. If I've got 20 pizza shops or 20 pizza and sub shops within 5 miles of my house, only one or two of them are worth talking about. And I think what's going to happen is that all those restaurants, right? So of the 20, two are worth talking about. They're worth spending money. They're worth going for the experience. And again, I'm not even talking about like famous, fancy, special occasion place. I'm just talking about worthy of our money. I think what happens to the rest of them is either they fail or they figure out how to offer an experience worth paying for, or how to just become simpler, more straightforward, and cater towards the people who are after convenience. I wholeheartedly believe we are coming to the split. That we are either, we want food that's really convenient, quick, cheap, easy, or we're after an experience, something that's above, beyond, that's remarkable, worth talking about. And it's not hard for me to imagine this. You close your eyes and you look at, the sort of when people go out to eat. Like, people go out to eat when they're in a rush, and they just need something quick, when they're running late, right? Certainly Dunkin' Donuts, Starbucks, a million other brands have made their living, McDonald's, Taco Bell, they've all made their living because I'm running late for work, I gotta pick up a sandwich and a coffee. I gotta pick up a croissant and a coffee, a donut and a coffee. I'm running late, I'm gonna run out, get a salad, go back to my desk. I'm running late from work to get to my kid's Little League game, I'm gonna pick up some McDonald's, eat on the way. I think people will always need that. And I think the other thing, right? People always go out to celebrate. They mark the big occasions. Birthdays, anniversaries, graduations, retirements. I think people will always go after that. And then people will go out to get together with friends and go out on a Friday night or a Saturday night or a Sunday night. But I think about people going out on a Wednesday night. Why would people go out on a Wednesday night and spend $50, $60, $80, $100 ahead because it's only getting more expensive? I think people will stop doing that unless they have a reason. Because if they're rushing, they don't need to necessarily spend the money that's required for a full-service restaurant. I think they'll just go for the convenient, i.e., less expensive or quicker option. Or they're going out to celebrate, you know, some kid wins the big game, gets the game-winning run or the hit or whatever. But I think you're really careful about what you choose when you go there. And I think as it gets more and more expensive, I think people will be more judicious about what they choose to spend their money on and when they choose to spend their money. There's only so much money to go around. And I know we know that. I know you know that. I know that. There's only so much money to go around. So where do we spend it? When do we spend it? And on what do we spend it? This becomes really, really important. Because what happens is just a regular casual restaurant, when you look at what they're going to have to charge to survive, to make a profit, and then people are going to think twice about it. And that's why it's so interesting. I had Anthony Valletta on the show. I think it's so interesting what a brand like Bar Taco is doing, where they're getting rid of almost all of their servers. They're going to table ordering model. So there's still hospitality, even though they're removing steps of service. And I love that. I think that is the future for so many casual restaurants. I think about when I go to the diner, right? So when I go to a diner, here's a perfect example. And an omelet is not cheap, especially now. It's not cheap. And so if I get an omelet, my wife gets an omelet or an Eggs Benedict, my son gets, you know, French toast or waffles or whatever. Breakfast at a diner or brunch at a diner, it's not $25. It's like $65, $75, $80. If we get some, you know, we each get a, you know, plate of food, we get, you know, a side of bacon, we each get coffees and juices, it adds up. When your omelet is $14, $16, $20, when the Eggs Benedict is $18 or $20. And when I go to the diner and I have some sassy waitress, is she improving the experience? I don't think so. I think I could just as easily sit down and order on my phone for everybody in my family. Hey, babe, what would you like? Turn to my son, what would you like? And then I type in my order. I can easily do that, pretty much do that at night. If we're going to order in from somewhere, hey, let's get Chinese food. What does everybody want? What do you want? What do you want? I put in the order. I'm good at it. I've gotten good at it. Most Americans have gotten good at it. So at a certain kind of restaurant, do I need some sassy waitress asking me what I want? Rushing me, being rude to me, maybe getting my order wrong? I don't need that. I certainly don't need to pay extra for that, and I don't need to tip for that. And I'm sensitive to this because I'm in the industry. But I'm telling you, our consumers, when they see a viable alternative, they will be very interested in the alternative. And I know our guests like to say they hate the QR codes, they hate table ordering. That may be true, but that's because a lot of table ordering just isn't very good yet. They're right. They deserve a better product. You've been on a good website. You've had a really good experience before. If we made the experience good and fun and easy to use and intuitive, trust me, everybody would do it. What we've got is the lowest common denominator options right now. Over the next 5 or 10 years, though, no way. We're going to get really, really great stuff. Think about how fun it is to use the McDonald's kiosks. They're fun. They're big. They're beautiful. They're bright. They're easy to use. They're fun to swipe and tap stuff and, you know, change the condiments and how many sugars do you want in your coffee. It's fun. It can be fun in a restaurant. We're just not there yet. And when it does become fun, I promise you, we do not need Sassy Sally waiting on us at the diner. We don't. I can very easily handle that. There's nothing gourmet at the diner. They got everything under the sun. What do you want? Just tell them what you want. Got a short order cook back there able to make it for us. And I think that's what's going to happen. That's what I mean about the middle. The diners, the pizza places, the Italian joints, the whatever, everything in the middle. A pub, a tavern, or whatever. I just don't think we need mediocre to bad service there in the middle. I think if we're it's gonna be bad, we might as well just have it be digital, save that money. The owners can charge a little bit less. They can be competitive with their pricing, or make it good enough so we can talk about it. So it is worth going. That's what I believe is happening. And I think we're watching it in real time. I think 5 years from now, we're actually going to have very good digital table ordering solutions. I think 5 years from now, paper menus are going to be a rarity. I think 10 years from now, they're going to be in museums. I believe that, wholeheartedly believe it. And you can see it happening in real time. As you go out to dine, not just in your restaurant watching people dine, but when you yourself go out to dine, ask yourself, literally ask the questions. How could this be better? What could we do here? Do I need this person? Do I need that person? I think there's a way of doing it, of running our restaurants with a lot less people. It'd be a lot more profitable. I think we'll have people there who actually want to be there, which is incredibly exciting. I think actually we get better restaurants out of it. I think we make more money in this industry. I think there's a lot of benefits that come from this. Again, what I wanted to talk about was the split between convenience and experience. It is happening. I urge you to open your eyes and watch what is happening in real time before our eyes. I want to finish up just real quick with, again, another request. If you get any sort of value from this show, if you've been watching for a while and you like what you hear, then please help me grow this community. The best way to do that is to go to Apple Podcasts, leave us a 5-star rating and review. Simply tell everyone else what you love about this show, what you get out of this show. Tell them why they should listen to the show. That, more than anything, would help me grow this little podcast into something bigger and bigger. Let's grow this community. I appreciate you being here. Thank you very much, and I will see you next time.